The hills of Wicklow are normally a really tranquil place, but that calm was certainly broken in the past week as Gardaí returned to a quarry there in a search that could reopen some of Ireland's most haunting unsolved cases. Jojo Dullard and Deirdre Jacob went missing in the 1990s. Their cases went cold, leaving families with years and years, decades in fact, of unanswered questions. Now, the search for answers is back on. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And for more than 30 years, the so-called Vanishing Triangle in Leinster has been a shadowed landscape for Ireland's missing women. In towns and in villages across the area, families have waited and they have searched and they have hoped. Some bodies were found, but others never recovered. Leads came and went, arrests were made, releases followed, and all of the while there's some sense of a pattern, and there was fear at one stage of a possible serial threat. Does it still linger? Well, last week, Gardaí returned to West Wicklow following a line of inquiry that could connect two of those unsolved cases. It's a search that carries both the weight, I suppose, of decades and the fragile hope of families who've lived through false dawn after false dawn. With me today is investigative journalist and author Barry Cummins, who's reported extensively on Ireland's missing women and children. Barry has been at these searches and has spoken to the families and tracked the cases from way back in the 1990s to the present day. You're very welcome to News Talk Daily, Barry.
Thank you, Ciara.
Barry, you have been out at this search site several times, in fact, over the past week. Can you describe this place for us? Can you describe the scene?
It's a quarry which is just off the N81 road, which links Baltinglass back up northwards towards Blessington. So it's quite a remote area once you come off the N81 road. The area is quite difficult to see from any of the roads around, but we've managed to find a particular road, a quiet country road through the hedgerow, through the trees. You can see two machines, Ciara, that are working away. There's an orange machine with a big bucket, which is a kind of a traditional mechanical digger that you might see around the country, which would excavate the topsoil of land. But then the other machine, which is the one that's been used most, is the yellow digger, as they call it. But it's the one with the big long arm, and it's extending deep into the ground. It has a smaller bucket attached, but it's the important one because it's excavating deep into the quarry, because whatever the Gardaí are looking for, they believe any evidence, if it does exist there, will be deep in the ground, maybe 20, 30 feet, by my guess anyway, by the arm that's being used, but they're going quite far down into the ground.
Okay, so potentially very deep. What is the terrain there, Barry, and how wide or indeed how concentrated is the search area?
I call it concentrated, Ciara, in terms of you're talking maybe, and this is my guesstimate, but you know, maybe 100 feet by 100 feet of an area that's the main focus of the work. But to get to that point and get the machine in to dig deep there, they've had to excavate around the area in order to then get down and get the machinery down into this location. And the terrain itself is within the quarry. There are certain parts which are grassed over at this stage, and other parts might be the working quarry. And then this particular area, it would seem like an older part that was once used and then was covered over. But once that topsoil, the grass and the muck starts to be removed, it's sand, it's gravel, it's easily diggable, I suppose, if I put it like that, to get down below that particular top point of the soil, easily diggable. But each of the bucket loads that are being taken out now are being assessed by the Gardaí as the soil, as this gravel, as this sand is removed.
Gardaí, as you mentioned there, they've obviously secured this site, this disused quarry. There's a no-fly zone in place. But who is coordinating, I suppose, all of the excavation work there and all of that searching? Who's involved?
It's the Garda Cold Case Unit are in charge of this. Their formal name is the Garda Serious Crime Review Team. But the basically they are the cold case unit. So these are detectives from Dublin who have travelled down. They've assessed the case file on Jojo Dollard and on Deirdre Jacob, and they are the ones who are on site. They're watching the digger do its work. There'll be professionals operating the machinery under Garda instruction. And you would have some local officers from the Wicklow Kildare area as well. But this is a cold case unit job. This is something they said had to be done based on whatever their assessment is of the two files and whatever new information they have. They're the ones in charge of this.
So everybody, I think, presumes at this point that what they are searching for are the remains of either Jojo or Deirdre. But there might be other items that belonged to the two girls that were never recovered. They also could potentially form part of this search.
Yeah, items of both women and also other items as well. But specific, say, to Jojo Dollard, we know that she had a cassette Walkman with her when she disappeared in November 1995. And that small item, Sanyo cassette recorder, would be something that is durable based on the type of material, especially the actual recorder itself and the headphones that might be attached. But that if they were, for example, in the soil anywhere, might have lasted the test of time over the 30 plus years that they've been missing. And also Deirdre Jacob, when she went missing in July 1998, and CCTV footage from that time shows this, she was carrying a shoulder bag with the CAT letters on a big yellow lettering cat bag. And it's the rest of the bag was black. But that type of material, again, is something which would last the test of time in the soil if it's buried anywhere. So Garda, you're looking obviously first and foremost for any trace of the bodies of Jojo and Deirdre, but also any of their personal belongings. But also, Ciara, what's brought Garda to this place, this particular search, is the possibility that one or more vehicles, cars linked to a particular person, that they might have been buried in the ground. So that gets across the kind of although the search is concentrated in a small enough area, they're going deep and they're looking for anything that might be as small as a Walkman, but as big as any part of a car. So they're watching for anything that's not natural to the soil, anything that shouldn't be in the ground in that location that will immediately draw attention if it's found.
And I know any of us who were children of the 90s can really picture actually those black cat bags, those shoulder bags, that very particular thick material that was used in those bags. I can see it clearly. I mean, do they have any sense? Is it possible in any way to predict with real accuracy how long a search like this can take?
If they are concentrated on just this one location, it may be just a number of days as opposed to going any further into more weeks if they stick to this one specific part. But this is only part of a bigger quarry. They may decide to search another part of it if any other information warrants that. But they've picked out this location, this part of a quarry, based on whatever information they have that points them directly there. They may extend the search beyond just this one specific part, and that might bring them into weeks. Or if they stick to this and that they believe this is where the only place they should search, it may be a search which may only last another number of days, whether anything is found or not.
Now, this area, this corner of the country, has long been a focus for some of Ireland's most high-profile missing women cases, and many people will know the name sort of off the tip of their tongue. Can you explain why that is, Barry?
It's a place where Jojo Dollard went missing from Moon in County Kildare in November 1995 in very suspicious circumstances, which were obvious from day one because of the time of night she went missing. She was hitching a lift. She was very far from home in County Kilkenny. And somebody gave her a lift that night that took her life and took her body and hid her. And that's one of a number of cases that are very troubling from the 1990s. And local to County Kildare and to County Wicklow are the suspicions that a serial killer may have been in operation in that area during the 1990s, and Jojo might be somebody who was a victim of a serial killer, because it was certainly a random attack. And then when you look at the case of Deirdre Jacob, a different time of day when she disappeared, broad daylight, a summer's day. And just imagine, Ciara, she had walked out from Newbridge town, the town she knew so well. She was local to Newbridge. She was back home from London that summer. She was just after finishing the first year of teacher training college in London. But back in Newbridge, in the town, goes to visit her grandmother, goes to visit the bank and the post office, and then heads for home, walking with her cat bag as she heads back out to Rosebery, just outside Newbridge town. Last sightings of her by people who saw the bag and then saw Deirdre were as she approached the gate of her home. And she never made it past the gate, never got into the driveway, never got into her house. Something happened to take her away from there. Somebody intervened. And the suspicion would obviously be that, again, it was a random attack, a serial killer, a predator, somebody who spotted her and somehow managed to get her into their vehicle and take her away. I mean, these are the facts as best we know them, and they are terrifying. But we do get into speculation because we simply don't know what happened. But it would seem that if these cases are linked, somebody was striking in daylight against Deirdre and under cover of darkness against Jojo, but somebody who was able to get away with it, get their bodies to some secret hiding place and to keep that secret all these years. That's if the cases are linked. And we can see from the Garda inquiries now, that's certainly their theory. There have been other attacks around the area in the 1990s and since then that Garda are considering as well. But there's nothing to ever prove a link between any of these cases so far. And that's as much as we can say at the moment.
We know by that there has been a number of searches over the years. We know that there's been a number of cold case reviews over the years. Do we know what prompted Garda to begin this particular search in this Wicklow quarry now?
It's a mixture, Ciara, of old and new information that Garda did come here before. They did look at this area before. They did some cursory examinations at the time as well. But the information they had was that a vehicle might have been left there at the quarry. The information wasn't that it might have been buried in the quarry. So while they were aware of this as a possibility, as a possible location where something might have been left, they didn't really go into any detail about the possibility it might have been buried. And they've now received new information in recent times as part of their ongoing appeal for information. Somebody saying, hang on, that actually a vehicle or vehicles were not only brought to that quarry, but would have been left to be buried within the quarry. And that it's the person, we talk about these people of interest, persons of interest, a suspect, somebody that Garda are aware of, a particular man who brought one or more vehicles to that quarry, it is claimed, and left them there and buried them there. That's what's bringing them to do the excavation. So while the location is not necessarily new to Garda inquiries, the information about the location is new, and that's why they're digging down in the ground to see, could there be evidence beneath the soil?
And as you say, there's been multiple appeals for evidence over the years, so there will have been multiple leads and multiple tip-offs and lots of information. The Garda don't act to this degree on every single thing that comes onto their desk, I would imagine. So can you take from that this information has been seen as pretty credible from the Garda and that would warrant, I suppose, this level of an excavation, this level of a search?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's linked to the individual that they're investigating. And this person has, for various reasons, become, in Deirdre Jacob's case, over the course of a Garda cold case review, this individual has become a very significant person of interest, a suspect in that case. In the Jojo Dollard case, there have been other suspects down the years, other searches in other locations. But whatever information Garda now have in Jojo's case, it brings them to this individual as well. And certainly this person, there will be great interest to know what vehicles this person was driving at different times, what access he had to different vehicles, and where they then went. Where are those cars? And might they have any evidence relating to any of these cases? So it's a search that is linked to the person who is the person of interest. And that's what makes this an important search. That's what leads to the level of investigation that's going into this, the attention that's been given. But it's not just a claim that any person left a car in a particular spot. It's that a particular person did, and that this person has long featured in various Garda investigations.
We talked at the very beginning here, at the very outset in my introduction, about the hope, I suppose, that families feel. And I think actually the wider public feels when they see a search like this being carried out. But there have been so many searches over the years for many of the missing women in Ireland. And the very sad, I suppose, fact of it is, Barry, that they've amounted to very little. Has there ever been a breakthrough, any evidence recovered in any of those previous searches that would enlighten the Gardaí or that would lead them in a particular way in the investigation of any of those women, in particular, I suppose, Georgia Dullard and Gerard Jacob?
Gardaí have found bodies over time in other investigations, but by and large, it's involved somebody pinpointing a spot, saying, dig here, excavate here. And even with that, it might be that somebody might be found 10 or 20 feet away from that location, or even further. That relates to other searches of, could be bodies of men or other women who have disappeared over time. And Gardaí have found some bodies, and they learn from that. And what they learn from is that a person mightn't be necessarily in the place that is pointed out. They could be close by, and memories fade. People can be absolutely certain in their mind that X marks the spot, but it mightn't. And so that what Gardaí are learning is to maybe search a little wider than a particular spot, to circle around it, but to go as far as they can. But this is the thing, they can't search one spot forever. They have to do it based on evidence. And at the heart of this, Ciara, is one or more people. And there are eight women in particular, I think of, who went missing in the 1990s. Two of their bodies were found by chance, one buried in the Dublin Mountains, one buried in Bogwater on the Leash-Offaly border. But the other six women were never found. All are murder investigations. And it may be that a number of killers were involved in individual cases, or a serial killer was involved in some. But whatever the reality of it, it would seem a number of people, and a number of men, I think would be the logic, individually have been able to hide bodies and keep secrets for a long, long time. And there's a psychology to this, as well as the practical searching, the psychology of what kind of people keep secrets, and can you really keep a secret and nobody have an inkling about your secret over years? And I think what Gardaí are finding is that there's always somebody close to that person. And these men may be married, in relationships, have children, work in a community. And people will, when they find out about the reality, will later say, oh, sure, I always knew there was something about that guy. But it's trying to get beyond that suspicion, to really dig deep on some of these people as to who they might be. Are they still hiding out? Are they still living in the community? And what secrets do they hold?
Just finally, you have been involved in many of these cases, have reported on them over the years. I know you've gotten to know all of the families behind these two women who have been left with all of these questions, so few answers as to what happened to their loved ones. How do they deal with all of this? How do they feel? And do you, as somebody who's been involved, feel like this could lead us to a breakthrough?
With each search, I always feel there might be a breakthrough. I think this is a very good search to be doing because it's evidence-based and credible suspicion-based as well in terms of a suspect. The families get their hopes up all the time, but they have learned, sadly, down the years to temper that in some way. They've been here before. There have been other searches. In Deirdre Jacobs' case, for example, separate to searches, a file was sent to the DPP, but no charges were brought. So certain things can happen down the years where the families think there might be a breakthrough. And right now, they're putting all their faith, all their hope in this search. They've visited the site. They've met with the Gardaí doing the search. And this is their focus. Right now, this quarry is where they're putting their thoughts. And it's an unimaginable way to be. But the families understand each other. The Dollards, Jojo's family, they understand what Deirdre Jacobs' family are going through. They're all united in that knowledge, but it's a particular gathering of people who are bereft and simply don't know where their loved ones are, but they do know that they were murdered. They do know there's a killer who has not been brought to justice. And that's the scary reality. That's the truth of it. These families need information and they need their loved ones' bodies back.
Barry Cummins, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today on News Talk Daily. Your book, Missing: The Unsolved Cases of Ireland's Vanished Women and Children, is a powerful record of the people who have been lost and what their families, I suppose, have had to endure. For Jojo Dullard and Deirdre Jacobs' families, these searches are a reminder of hope, I suppose, but also heartache. Decades of waiting, hoping for answers that might finally come, and our thoughts are with them as this very latest investigation unfolds. That's News Talk Daily for today. We'll be back as always on the Go Light Player and on all the usual podcast services tomorrow morning. Until then, goodbye.